Presumptuous Sins is the title of today's exhortation, taken from Numbers chapter 15 and verses 30 to 41. The word translated presumptuous means high-handed, to rise up, be high, be lofty, be exalted. It means overbearing, boast, describe the haughtiness of a man's heart. Here, the Lord tells us that this such a heart reproaches the Lord. The word reproach means to revile. And the word is further described, the word presumptuous is further explained in verse 31. Such a one despises the word of the Lord and has broken his commandments. So to despise means to contemn, to scorn, to disdain. So God treats willful sins of his people very seriously. For the judgment pronounced was death by stoning. So O.T. Spence observed well, he says, in these very dark days, high-handed sin was committed by one who, with a lawless spirit, gathered sticks on the Sabbath day. This is not simply a man collecting wood because of the law of necessity. It was a man deliberately contradicting God in his action. Sometimes we have that tendency in our old self to do that which the carnal self thought it wise. We thought it clever, but that is not good. It was a man deliberately contradicting God in his action. He not only sinned against the law, but he was endeavoring to sin away the law. And so here it is described here as a spirit in which the Lord described here in a very derogative way, to look at God and his word and his commandment with contempt, in other words. And here you see that this sin in the spirit resulted in action that were cause the people of God to be led away by a wrong example. In other words, they have their own spirit within themselves, and they thought themselves wise to go about establishing, doing their own things the way they thought it was good for them. And that, the Lord says, is iniquity. And such a one, verse 39 says, seek not after the heart of God, but his own heart and his own eyes. And so here is described for us a very serious situation. It's not just picking sticks. And there was another example that took place, which we saw before, in Leviticus 24, verses 10 to 23. And here, verse 10 of Leviticus 24 says, and the son of an Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel, and this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shilamith, the daughter of Debri, of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward, that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, bring him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that had heard him lay their hand upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curses his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as a stranger, as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. And here it is described a further breach of the law. And what does it mean? Well, we say that it is a violation of the third commandment, for we are exhorted to give honor to God and His name. Exodus 20 verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So there was a serious consequence, right, in blaspheming the name of the Lord. And so here we may say that there is no law written to deal with such high-handed sins in the Old Testament. They had to inquire of the Lord and concerning the action, and the Lord gave the action to be taken, right? The command was to stone him to death. And so here we like to look at the first thought, the violation, the violation. What was the violation? What was the violation, and how Moses would show us, illustrate it by the man picking sticks. Matthew Henry says, they put him in ward because it was not declared what they would do to him. So here is given to us the presumptuous sinner, those who sin with a high hand. In other words, they would avowedly confront God's authority and set up their own lust in competition with it. Right? And here, when that happens, right, you will find that there will be a split. And God's way or my way, when we have that kind of a tendency, it's no good, because that kind of a heart, will the Lord abhors. And so we ask that the Lord may be gracious to cleanse. It is not only to sin against knowledge, but to sin designedly against God's will and glory. Sins thus committed are exceedingly sinful. He that thus breaks the commandment reproaches the Lord. He says the worst he can of him, and most unjustly. So here, how do you describe a presumptuous sin? Matthew Henry puts it well. Eternal truth is not fit to be believed, the Lord of all not fit to be obeyed, and almighty power not fit to be either feared or trusted. It's really sad. And I pray that the Lord would help us to understand and know Him, that He is indeed the righteous judge of heaven and earth, and to put away such malignity of willful sin. So what was it? This presumptuousness. Firstly, he despises the word of the Lord. There are those who in many instances come short of fulfilling the word, and yet have a great value for it, and count the law honorable. But presumptuous sinners despise it, thinking themselves too great, too good, too wise to be ruled by it. So it happens, we say that yes, we have believed, we have come to God, but we are not yielded to Him in our ways. When our ways are not yielded to Him, then here our profession is quite empty, isn't it? What is the Almighty that we should serve Him? Whatever the sin itself is, it is contumacy that incurs the anathema. What is the anathema? That's the curse of God. It is rebellion added to the sin that is as witchcraft, as stubbornness, as idolatry. In other words, our will not bend to follow the Lord and His ways. And that's very sad. That's very tragic, right? Very tragic. And such a state, such a behavior can affect many, right? Because here those who observed, right, may be influenced by that evil tendency. So the sentence passed was dreadful, right? There remain, Matthew Henry says, no sacrifice for those sins. The law provided none. That soul shall be cut off from among his people. And verse 31 says, utterly cut off. That God may be forever justified and the sinner forever confounded. His iniquity shall be upon him, and there needs no more to sink him to the lowest hell. Thus, here we say that the iniquity shall cleave to the soul after it is cut off, and that man shall give an account of his sin at the great day of judgment. What a sad prospect. And here is described for us, right, the fearful thing of one who chooses to disobey God. And in the New Testament, we also see this happening, right, in the church itself, right, apostasy against God and His Word. And this, well, here is illustrated for us by a particular example, particular instance of presumption in the sin of Sabbath breaking. In other words, we're not so interested in keeping the day of worship, keeping the day of rest unto the Lord. We like to do our own things on that day. We are not interested. We like to pick our own sticks. We like to do our own things. Here is given to us a very real example. Do we not set aside a day for the Lord to worship Him and to be found in His presence? But why is it that this particular person would choose to infringe? And if you look at it in today's context, right, as O.T. Spence says, we live in a very dark world. Right? Dark world because professing Christians choose, right, to profane the Sabbath and think nothing of it. So to think of the Old Testament law and how it is an affront to God, and why is it that, you know, we are not struck dead yet. Here the Lord gives for us in particularly a warning, so that when we study the Old Testament law, we realize and understand the gravity of our ways, right? When we trespass, we think that it's a little bit, never mind. But here you see how God deems it in a very serious manner, you see. So let us not judge and grade and measure God's ways by our own standards, right? Here in the Old Testament is given to us God's standard concerning the breaking of the Sabbath law. And so God was consulted because it was not declared what should be done to him, and the law had already made concerning one who profaned the Sabbath as a capital crime. Exodus 31 verse 14, Numbers 35 verse 2. And so here we see that God was the judge, and he was brought to bear that he should die. The sentence was passed. The lawbreaker, according to what he had done, how it displeased the Lord, he was appointed to a most terrible death. So what is wrong? You see, such little things we think, right? If we measure God's law against our own standard, then we will feel shocked. But here we see that God is jealous for the honor of his Sabbath, and those who will not hold it are found guilty, right? They are not guiltless when they profane them. And so here we see the sentence was executed very quickly, and it was done in a way that was to put away iniquity immediately. In Jeremiah 13 verse 17, it's described for us the time after Israel returned to, after 70 years of captivity in Babylon. Right? You see, they were profaning actually the Sabbath years. Right? Well, it begins like that. You see, you profane the Sabbath day, then they profane the Sabbath year. They were supposed to let the land lay fallow every seventh year, but they did not. They continued to till the land because they wanted the gain. You see, they would not trust God to take care of them, to grant them the harvest, but they wanted it for themselves. See. So as long as I have strength, I will want to do it. So here you see the picture in Nehemiah 13, when after Israel returned to the land again, they had to reiterate the law, and that the law has to be implemented. So Nehemiah wrote, he says, "Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day?" So they were trading during those days, during those times. So here you will notice that the gravity of a sin against God, right, that you may think that, you know, it is a small physical travesty, right, but God is concerned concerning the heart. You see, God is concerned with the spirit of the person. Why such an action is taken? God is concerned with the spirit. You know, what's going on inside the person? What is going on? How is it possible that God, who has given his law and make it so plainly that it is to be a day of rest, a day when they would not need to gather the manna, a day when they would take the time, right, to remember what he had done for them, an appointed rest, you see. Sometimes we don't want, right? We don't want to rest. To our own detriment, isn't it? You can't be working 7 days. The day to rest is a day to rest. God gives you that day of rest, then use it as a day of rest. So here the Lord also then from verse 37 to 41 provided for us a way by which to remind the people of God not to forget and to despise and to disobey and to transgress His word. Right? Verse 37. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, that they put upon the fringe of the borders of a ribband of blue, and it shall be unto you a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments and do them. So something to jot their memory, something to remind them, that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye go to ye used to go a whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. And so here the Lord wants us to know, and it's important, right? Not only ourselves, but you see, we don't want to be the one just ourselves following the Lord. Right? We also want to encourage the people around us to follow the Lord. What's the use of we following the Lord and alone, right? To the exclusion of the others? But immediately following this extreme sin, Matthew Henry wrote, God presents His ribband of blue. The very color of heaven was brought into the needs of man in this desperate, wandering times. The borders of the garments were to carry the blue memento as they were swished their garments on their pilgrimage. They will be constantly reminded of the holy, separated life that God intended for them to walk. So here, the Lord shows us how we need to remind ourselves, how we need to understand the gravity of it. So God, provision was made by the Lord for the pardon of the sins of ignorance and infirmity. Now here, Matthew Henry says, an expedient provided for preventing of such sins. How to prevent? You don't want to commit, and after that, you know, the consequences are so grave. And so, what do you do? Well, they ordered to make the fringes upon the borders of their garments, which were to be momentarium to them, that of their duty, that they might not sin through forgetfulness. The sin through forgetfulness. That is the reason why the people of God need to be assembled for the systematic study of His Word. Right? We are gathering on Wednesday for Bible study. Why is it so important? Well, we are forgetful people. We can be so frightened by the news. Every day we switch on the news and it says 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, and then we forget. Then we become so afraid that we say, oh, what do we do? We don't want to die. Well, we have the Lord protecting us. We have the Lord watching over us. We have the Lord superintending over what is going on. And so let us not be engulfed, right, with the situation, because there will be dangers that will come, right, all throughout life. It is not this, it's that. And if you let anyone and every one of this cause you, cause your faith to stumble, so that, you know, your devotion is no longer strong, right? But you are just engulfed with the situation, then that's where we will soon say, ah, Sabbath day, Lord's day, let's go pick up stick. Why not? Why not? Help ourselves. Well, that is why it's recorded for us, so that we may not forget. More so for the people of God. More so that the people of God may realize, right, that we may not be moved by all the fear mongering, but continue to trust God to take care of us, to help us. Can He not take care? Yes. Is He not able? Surely He's able to. And why should the people of God freeze into inactivity? Isn't death a transition to heaven? Let us realize that the enemy can harm the body, but they cannot take the soul. They cannot take the soul. And if we are afraid, if we are afraid of this body to perish, then oftentimes we would be stumbled because we just simply do not have the strength to trust God anymore. And it's like that, right? And this portion of scripture came immediately after God pronounced that those 20 years and above will not enter the promised land. Why? Because they said there were giants in the land. We will not go in. Although it is the will of God for them to go in, they will not go in. We are afraid. And they would influence the other people. And it's sad. Well, this is not the life of faith that God wants His people to live. Not our own way. Not our own hearts. Not our own eyes. That we would choose to go a-whoring. But that we may remember and do all the commandments of God. The Lord says, and be holy unto Him, for He is the Lord our God, which brought us out of the land of Egypt to be our God. The Lord says, I am the Lord your God. In other words, He has saved you and He has given you a better life, a life of faith. So I pray that the Lord would be gracious to help His people to keep faith and keep walking with Him, trusting Him, for we can do no other. In Him is protection. In Him is His blessing. And the Lord wants us to realize it and simply follow Him, knowing that He will make good all His promises. and that indeed we'll find him true and truly reliable. May the Lord help us. May the Lord strengthen us. May the Lord grant us, rid us of that mentality of picking up sticks. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we pray and ask that thou would be gracious to strengthen us and bless us with thy peace and joy as we choose to follow thee, obey thy commandments. And Father, we thank thee that thou hast appointed times of reprieve, times that thy people may be gathered for Bible study, for devotion, to dwell on thy word and to dwell on thee, so that our hearts may be attuned to thy good will, that we may walk therein and find thy blessing and thy presence, thy fellowship. Indeed, that communion will be sweet and pleasant. And Lord, may thou bless us to continue to taste of it and be blessed of it. This I ask with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.